This is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and you are the frozen chosen. Hallelujah. You are the winter warriors. I'm trying to think of all other cool things, but that's all I could come up with this morning. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for being careful out there. It's a mess. White Demon is among us. And he brought his friend, Flippy Iceman. Oh, hey, it's good to be in the house of God. Amen. Like I said on Facebook, it might be cold out here, but it's going to be hot this morning in here. Amen. When God's people get together, the fire of God is here. He's here. He's here. I love being here with you, church. How are you? Good? Three people are good. One person is well. One person is blessed. Awesome. And one's a woo! Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that you're here this morning. Aren't you glad that you know Jesus? Isn't it good to be a part of a church family? I know we're about half people here or so, maybe a little bit more, but it's so good to be a part of a church family, to go to people, to have a place to come to, a place to, to worship. See, a lot of times, even in America, a lot of times, we give a lot of attention to mental health, right? Like you hear it everywhere. There's this drug for this, and this counselor for that, and this, and we give a lot of attention to our mental health as well in our education, but we are losing something very vital in America, and that is our spiritual health. And it's one thing to go to church on a Sunday. It's another thing to be the church. It's one thing to read God's word or have the pastor read it to you. It's another thing to read your word for yourself. See, if we want to be a complete whole person, we need to take spiritual health as a big deal. It's a serious business, and I'm so glad that you're a part of God's family because we believe in God's word here at First Open Bible. Cover to cover, we call ourselves a full gospel church. If it says it's sin, it's sin. If it says it's grace, it's grace. If it says it's love, right? We're going to call it what it is, we're going to believe what it is, and we're all going to get set free from it. And we can't sit around pointing fingers at each other because when you point a finger at somebody else about their sin, God will remind you of your sin, okay? Right? We know people by their fruits, true, but it's no one's job to judge anybody and where they're going to go to heaven or hell. It never says that in God's word. Right? You can judge people by their fruits, but you better be judging yourself by your fruits before you ever judge someone else. See, this has got to be not necessarily a judge-free zone, but this has got to be a Holy Spirit-filled zone. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts. If you're sitting and saying, man, that's for you next to you, or that's for you, your focus is wrong. You got to refocus. It's about you and God this morning. I'm going to preach better than your amen in today. So if you don't, I don't care how many are in here today. The more you amen, the more you get involved, the better I'm going to preach. Or I can be boring and that wouldn't be very fun, right? And one thing, if you know about, if you've been here very long, is I try to give it my all. I want to go all in for God. Do you want to go all in for God, right? Whatever he's designed for you at this time and this very hour, are you going all in for him? Or are you giving him just part of you? See, I don't know how people do life without God. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do life without a church family as well. You hear, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You're right, but you do have to go to church to be a strong Christian. That's biblical. You're right, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, you're right, but you do have to go to church to be a strong Christian. Why? Because it says, pray for one another, lift each other up. It says, don't forsake the fellowship of the believers. We come together, we work together, we live together, we fight battles together, we celebrate together, because that's what church is for. If it wasn't for that, then why did Jesus ascend to heaven and say, my Father's sending another, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes, and he gets to the 120 in the upper room, and then instantaneously a sermon is preached, 3,000 is gained, and then right then and there, God establishes the four major pillars of a church. Why would he do that if that wasn't important? He would. He wouldn't do that. It is important. It's very important. I'm so thankful. And if you're visiting us today, we would love for you to be a part of our church family. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to be a part of that. And what does that mean? It means like, you know, your family. Maybe your family is dysfunctional. Hey, welcome to First Open Bible. We are also dysfunctional. It's a family, man. What do you expect? There's always a crazy uncle, right? There's always that weird person, and there's always that one that sucks the life out of you. There's always those people. But guess what? We do it in Jesus' name. We battle together, we love one another, and we're going to do what we can in this life. And truly, God designed it that we be a family. But what's even cooler about God's family, and you might have family members that are just straight lazy, right? They just don't do nothing. Nothing, right? They want everybody to just do everything for them. But in God's family, if you're going to do it right, that has no place in God's family. There is no lazy people in God's family. There isn't anybody, right? If you see that in God's word, show me, and I will come up next time I preach and I will apologize. But everybody has a job, everybody has a position, and everybody's part of the body. I don't care if you're a baby toe or your lips or you're a tongue or an elbow. It doesn't matter. You have a part and you have a place to play, and there has to be a position, and God gives you gifts. The way you're made, the way you're made is because God wants to be glorified in the way that you're made. Right? All right. It's all free. None of that in here today. Man, but where would we be without Jesus? Where would we be? A lot of us be in jail. Some of us would be dead. A lot of us had broken families, even worse than we do now. A lot of us might be in drugs or alcohol. A lot of us would be in the world, stuck into the things that the world says is right. A lot of us would be hurt and broken. A lot of us would be just lost without Jesus. But I'm so thankful for Jesus. He finds us where we're at, right where you're at. You came broken today. Great, congratulations. Every row in front of you and every row behind you and every row beside you also came broken today, right? Take off the facade today. Take off that pretty Sunday morning facade and be real. Be real. This is church. This is family. Like we don't know. Come on. Like God don't know, right? Come on. We got to be real. 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 There's something that's coming up in 3 weeks that's going to allow us to be real together, right? It's going to be something that's going to be very exciting. I'm very excited about it, and we're going to be able to do life together, not just on a Sunday morning. Typically, we have 250 to 300 people on a Sunday morning, but this is going to break it down a little bit smaller so you can get into life with people and you can talk with people. It's a thing called Connect Groups, and it starts in 3 weeks. And guess what? Tomorrow, Monday, the 20th at 6 a.m., sign up is going to start. Now, you don't have to wake up at 6 a.m., but you can if you want to. And you can get out on our website. You can get out on the church app or other social media platforms, or you can call the church office, whatever you'd like, and they would love to sign you up. See, there are some groups that are limited. Hunter, can you put, thank you. There are some things that are limited, right? But some of them are open for all and any. There's 7 groups total starting in 3 weeks from tonight, okay? These are called Connect Groups. It's a place to belong. And when I call out your Connect Group, if you're a Connect Group leader, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'll just say your name, and you can stand, and everybody can see you and be like, oh, look at them. They're so pretty, right? And then you can sit down, and oh, where'd they go? Okay? And then we'll just do it to the next person and go on. So there's 7 total Connect Groups, and what's the purpose of this? This is a place to belong, a place to belong. Number 1, recovery support. Hashtag, the struggle is real. This is a home group led by Bill and Bobby Rose. Will you please stand? Awesome. Second group that we have is also a home group. It's multi-stages in life. Hashtag all in, led by Rick and Sue Enyart. Where are you at? Awesome. If you're a Connect Group leader, you sit right there. That's where you sit, right? You guys... Okay. Third group, young families, hashtag parenthood. This is also a home group, so we have 3 home groups led by Matt and Sherry Pfeiffer. Awesome. That's quick, Sherry. Like they don't know who you are. Every Sunday morning you do announcements like, oh, I don't want attention. Well, you shouldn't do announcements. But I have to because you make me. I know. Right? We just had a conversation. She didn't. All right, number 4. Single parenting, hashtag single parenthood. This is here in our prayer room, and it's led by Christina Glacken. I don't know if she's here this morning. She's been traveling. Okay? Single parents. What does that mean? That means you're not married and you have kids. That's what that means, right? You might be in a relationship, but you're not married. That means you're single, right? You're not married. So you can come here. It's in our prayer room, and that's led by Christina Glacken. Number five, multi-stages in life. Hashtag Christian living. This is here downstairs in our large classroom led by Kenny and Susan Gale. Awesome. And when they're gone, traveling or doing something or couldn't make it, Pastor Stevens and Sharon are their substitutes, but they're not here this morning because they're not feeling well. So they're going to help fill in. Yeah, for them, not here. Woo! Hey, that's great. I love. You guys are starting all that. That's great. Good appreciation. Number six, come let us worship. Hashtag, can I get a witness? This is here in the multi-purpose room, also known as the fellowship hall, led by Pastor Sonny Freeze. And the last one is youth, hashtag student life. This is here. All right, we're going to go in just a second. This is here at church in the youth vault, 6th through 12th graders only, led by the First Open Bible Youth Leadership. Let's go and stand up, youth leadership. Awesome. There it is. More details, more descriptions on what that is, the times, what they're really going to focus on, what the heart of it all is going to be available tomorrow all over our website. On your, I hope you have a First Open Bible app on your phone. You can go there. You can go to our website, any social media things, Facebook or whatever else we have. You can go out there. Or you can call the office if you don't have any of that. You're like, my phone is dumb. Dumb phone. I got a dumb phone. Or maybe, like you saw on there, it still has a cord. That's cool. I remember those. I grew up with those, right? And if your parents are really nice, they give you a really long cord so they can't hear every conversation that you ever have, because you can go in the other room and sneak around while the cord is like pulling on the thing, and you're thinking, is that going to fall off or not? If that falls off, I'm going to take my allowance and have to buy a new phone. And back then, phones were a lot less expensive than they are now with those cell phones. They're crazy. It's like a small car, right? What's that? Teen line. Okay. There you go. Remember these ones? Brrr. Oh, I messed up. Got to start over again. Brrr. And you're like, oh, brrr. I like, forget it. I don't even want to talk to him anymore. That's a rotary phone. Is that right? Yeah. I had one of those too when I was really, really young. And then we got rid of that and I just got to play with it. So anyway, there's more descriptions out there, connect groups. It's going to be an awesome time together. I hope you join us. It's the second and fourth week of every month starting next month. It starts in 3 weeks, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. It's from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, just like we have Sunday night now. We're just switching it up, trying to get people involved, trying to get people connected. We're trying to do life together. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Listen. Like I said before, church is not a place full of perfect people, okay? There's not a perfect person in here. It's a place of broken people, doing life together, serving the God of the perfect. 2 weeks ago, God was talking to me and he said this, the best way to lead as a shepherd is not to lead by walking in front. The best way to lead as a shepherd is by walking in the middle. God told me, so this morning, this is what I want to do. I want to teach, I want to lead, and then I want to just let go. Okay? That's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to teach, I'm going to lead, I'm going to let go. So here we are, 3 weeks into the new decade. It's 2020. Can you believe that? Man, I know a lot of you are older than me, and I know some of you are younger than me. I graduated in the year of 2000, 20 years ago. They're going to have a 20-year reunion back in Oregon where I grew up, and it's just crazy to think, right? And anybody older than me, you can totally be with me on this one. Life goes so fast. It really does. When you're young, you think, oh, man, I'm going to live forever. No, you won't. You won't. And things are going to happen that are going to be really hard. And maybe some of you have had friends commit suicide. Or maybe you've had some of your friends get in car wrecks. Or maybe you've had some tragic things happen in your life. Because life, we're not in this body forever. But we can live forever if we know Jesus and we serve him. And it's just crazy how fast things are happening. And when we look out into this world, we realize that God is the only one that has perfect vision. He's the only one that really sees with 20/20 vision. He's asked his church to refocus because he wants us to also have 20/20 vision. So when I think back on our 2020 theme of refocus, I hear the Spirit of God saying to us this morning, bring it back. Bring it back. He's stripping all the fruitless parts of our lives. He's stripping it. Allow him to prune you, church. Allow him to prune you. He wants us to be rightly planted, strong, from the roots up. So where and how we are planted, it really matters. If our roots are not deep and close to the source of life, we won't produce fruits of life. Every other kind of fruit won't last. There are dead things in your life that are taking up space right now. Have you planted something in your life that isn't producing fruit? We have to look at the roots if there are bad fruits. Don't blame your environment. Don't blame your past or your current offenses or even your background for the reason you are not producing. The fact is, God can grow us anywhere and at any time if he is the source of your life. You want to continue having a barren tree? Keep doing the same things. Can I say that again? Y'all feeling a little sleepy here this morning. Can you say hallelujah? You're alive. Hallelujah. Thank God. We want to continue to have a barren tree. We got to keep doing the same things. Now, I'm not just talking to you, but I am talking to you. I'm talking to the church. The fact of the matter is this, in about 20 to 25 years, the church as we know it, if we don't do something, will not exist. It won't. That age, they don't care to go to church. Right? We have a handful of amazing teenagers, but 4% of them in their generation even have a biblical worldview. They don't care. Why don't they care? Because the church itself hasn't been producing fruit. The church itself has been dead. The church itself says one thing and lives another. The church itself proclaims something with no demonstration. The church itself doesn't walk by the power of the Holy Spirit anymore. The church itself doesn't look like what it used to be. The church itself must refocus. If we want to continue to have a barren tree, then we're going to have to do the same things. But if we don't, strip it, God. Strip it from us. You are the vine, we are the branches. But right now, we're just another tree. Not anymore. Not for First Open Bible. Not as long as I'm going to preach. God has something amazing for us in 2020. That prophecy was wonderful. But none of that will be fulfilled at all if we don't realize what we're plugged into, what our source is. None of that will come true. None of that. If we don't understand where it came from, bring it back. Bring it back. If you want to produce fruit in your life, then bring it back and have the right roots. God says to us this morning, bring it back to the things that I say are important, not what man says or not what religion has made it. I feel like I have your attention, so I'm just going to flow with this real quick. At your job, are demons afraid of you? Because they should be. Are things happening at your job and at your school because you haven't been praying, because you haven't been believing, because you haven't been speaking the right place and where you should be? Do you not know who lives in you? The Spirit of the living God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he lives in you, but we don't act like it as a church. We don't even speak like it as a church, right? We don't pray like it as a church. Who cares if your friends and your peers or even your boss think you're crazy or maybe doesn't even like you? Seriously, who cares? Like, you got to get past that. But I might ruffle some feathers at work. Good. Does the Bible ever say that you should ruffle feathers? Did Jesus ever ruffle feathers? Jesus was not a hippie going around throwing peace signs all the time, letting everybody be who they want to be. He met them where they're at, and he changed them by the power of the Spirit that was in him. He changed them by the Word of God. He changed him. They changed those people because he stood in between them and sin, and he said, no, wrong way. That's not the way it should be. Not the way it should be. I think a lot of times the enemy sees Christians walking around and they just say, dead man walking, dead man walking, dead man walking. And then the angels are going, wake up, come alive, come alive, come alive. Give me something to do. I want to shut that demon up. I want to shut him up. Do you not see I'm holding the sword? I want to cut his head off. Come on, right? Let me do something here. Dead man walking, dead man walking. Be alive, church, be alive, be alive, be alive, be alive. Be full of the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Be alive, be alive, be alive. And what is that? It's not just, you don't have to just be verbal to be alive. Get in your word. If you're not reading your word, then you're dying. You're spiritually dying, right? If you don't eat, okay, how about this? Maybe try this. Maybe you got to psychologically just get your head in this. Every time I eat, I should read God's word because I want to be physically healthy, but I also want to be spiritually healthy. If everybody read God's word as much as they ate food, right, you would be stronger, right? But maybe you shouldn't put something in your mouth until you put something else in your mouth, right? God's word. Or maybe you need to put it back in you. If you're not getting spiritually fed, that's because a bunch of people walking around saying they're God's church, but they look like they're just totally skin and bones. They got nothing. They got no meat on them. They got no strength. They got no power. Right? God wants more for us, church. He wants more for us. He wants more for us. He doesn't just want more for us. He died for more for us. That's what he died for. We're supposed to do greater things than Jesus. But in America, have you seen it? I'm not okay with it anymore. I'm not okay with it. I'm not. I grew up going to church. I grew up, my parents dragging me to church until I accepted Christ, and I hated it. It's so boring. It's awful. This old man with gray hair would stand up and read a story from God's word. And you don't even know if the guy believed it himself. Just reading a story, it's like, man, I could have read a story. This is boring. I have to dress up. I wear this tie that makes me hot and sweaty, and I don't like it, right? And then I'm sitting up. We had a second pew, and I'd get so bored as a little kid, I'd just break the pencils and throw them when my parents weren't looking. So I'd hit people down there so I could have a little bit of fun in church, right? Until they found out, right? And then you got to wait a couple weeks till they forget. Then you do it again. It's just this cycle. I live this cycle. Ooh, I'm good, and these people I saw in my life, they were really nice people on Sunday, but man, they were as mean as snakes on Monday. It's fake. I'm not okay with it. Not okay with it. Why are we okay with it? Why? Breaks God's heart. This is where you get equipped. This is where you get built up. This is where you get healed. So you can go out there and be real. Be real. I'm not saying you put on a fake smile and say, how you doing? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. No, no, no. No, right now there are curses coming against you. Yes, you're blessed. Tell them the truth. You know what? I'm struggling right now, but I know God is going to get me through this. Will you pray with me? Because I need somebody right now. Will you come with me and will you help me with this? Here's my problem. What do you think? What does God's word say about this? What do I do? What do I do? Right? And then and there, just pray. Just ask God. Tell him to come in. God, we need you in this right now. I need you in this. Right? That's what it means to live together in Christ, to do life together. Just do so much stuff on our own. I think we're so crippled as Americans. We're so crippled. Because we have everything we want, right? There ain't a person in here that's struggling for food, right? Man, I could do a few sit-ups, you know what I'm saying? Right? I could eat a little less. There ain't nobody in here. Anywhere you want to go at any time, you can get food. You can get a doctor. You can get medicine. You can put it on a credit card, right? Just abuse what God has given us, but God doesn't want it anymore. He wants us to refocus. We got to take this serious. We got to take this real. There are people dying around us every single day, and we're so focused on ourselves that we miss the ones that are broken, the ones that need us, right? We're so just into us and all our problems all the time because that's what we've been told for so many years, but God says, die to yourself daily. Pick up your cross. He says, speak. And he says, to go out into the world and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus. We can't preach the gospel if all you're doing is focusing on you. Right? God wants us to bring it back. Bring it back. Here's a fact. Circumstances, situations, they won't stop coming in life. Life stinks because of their sin. You're going to die because of their sin. You're going to be sick because of their sin. You're going to go through hard times because there's sin. It's not going to be perfect in your marriage or your friendships because there's sin. But when the roots are right, you can deal with that. And you can even produce in the midst of it. I pray that God will stir our hearts right now and get into our roots. I want to ask you an honest question. How was your week? How was your week? Because I'm going to give you an thumbs down, awesome, okay. Great, awesome. Thumbs down, awful. Thumbs up, honest. Thumbs up, great. Honest, I'm gonna be honest with you. I had a really rough week. Really, really hard one. I'm not gonna stand up here and pretend pastor is this, you know, guy up on a pedestal. If you have me on a pedestal, you need to knock that down, by the way. I don't know what you've been taught, but God's word never says that. Fivefold ministry doesn't receive this pedestal. I'm not going to heaven any faster than you are. Right? Doesn't mean that we don't deal with things better than you. It was really hard. I had to really dig deep this week while I was facing trials in my life. Lots of pressure, anticipation, high stress, strife, even celebration and excitement and heartache, sorrow and joy. And I had a lot of prayer this week, a lot of prayer. One day in my office, I just spent 2 hours and turned on music and did nothing but listen to worship and prayed because I could do nothing else. I was crippled by all the weight of the world. Do you ever just do things out of necessity? You just do them because you have to? And then you look back and you wonder, where was God in all that? Honestly, do you ever do that? Where's God in that? Then the Holy Spirit comes and convicts your heart. And he says, but you didn't invite me in to help you or lead you or love you or guide you. I never left you. You just didn't invite me in. Church, with what you faced this week, a lot of you gave thumbs down and some of you gave thumbs up. Did you invite God in? But did you invite him in to everything? I would beg to say not one single person here did, unless you are in constant prayer all the time. So that's what Paul tells us to do. It's a hard thing to do. We have to invite God into all things. And I'm not just talking about, see, God is not a genie. Rescue me from this. I got another wish. Right? No. God, here's a celebration. Come join me. God, here's another hard thing. Come join me. Here's just a regular thing. Come join me. Every moment of every hour, please just come join me. Celebrate with me, love me, walk with me, just everything. God, I want you to be a part of all my things. You're not just a genie that I rub and ask for another wish to get me out of another situation that I put myself in anyway. When it comes to life and all the pressures and all the pain and all the expectations, do we crave what matters most, or do we just go to what we think is important? Bring it back. Look at the roots. So Jesus was asked one of the most important questions in God's word. I think any of us would have asked. It was super, super important. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 38, says this, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" I mean, what a powerful question, right? Like, Jesus, basically, give me the cliff notes, right? Get me to the heart of it all. Give me exactly what I need to focus on. You're saying a lot of stuff, God. What is it that's super duper important? Tell me the most important commandment. And Jesus replies in verse 37 in Matthew 22. "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." We have to love our Father with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. Our relationship and worship to God is the first thing that matters. And His truths are the only things that will last. Have you ever lost something before? Let's take your keys, for example. Right? Lots of laughs. That was me this morning. Take your keys, for example. So you search all over the house, frantic and pressed for time, and obligation is upon your mind, and you start getting stressed and maybe even angry. Where are those keys at? I know I put them over here. Where are they at? Did you move them? You just start getting crazy, right? The dog ate them. I know it. And you're like, dude, chill, bro. Like, would you want to swallow those keys? That's crazy, right? See, once you have searched everywhere you can think of where you left them, you do what? What'd you say? Sometimes the Lord shows you. This is what I do. I stop. I think, where's the last time I remember having them? Stop. You refocus. You think back. And then you start over, right? Okay, I drove 3 hours ago to this place, and I was carrying these bags, and I walked in the house here, and I placed the keys probably in that area. Oh, because I was undoing the bags. Oh my goodness, bam, there they are. Right by where I had the grocery bags. Bring it back. The Lord says this morning, I'm stripping it all away to bring you back to the place you last had me. The place you last heard my voice, the place you last let me in. See, it's very hard to hear God's voice when you're not listening for it. And it's very hard to find God when you're not looking in the right places for Him. God says today, you've lost my direction because you're frantic, looking in the wrong places for it. Stop, refocus, think back. When is the last time that you really remember having me? And go there and search again. Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13 says this, "In those days, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." Let me remind you, church, at the altar, where you get altered, Jesus made a way. Jesus is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Jesus offers us a life of worship and prayer, life like no other. And we lack because we haven't invited God into everything we face through prayer. We lack because we haven't invited God into everything we face through worship. Jesus tells us in the Word of God, but the kingdom of heaven is near. It also tells us, Jesus says, that you can have heaven here on earth, right? In Mark 10:15, it says this, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." I have a master's in theology. That is not to boast about myself, but let me tell you, to understand a kingdom principle, you don't have to have a master's in theology. You have to realize you're His child. You have to realize you're a child. to understand kingdom principles. Lord, help us refocus so we can receive the kingdom of God again, so we can see the kingdom of God here on earth. Listen, our Father in heaven hears everything. He knows everything, and he knows you so intimately and deeply. He knows the good, he knows the bad, and he knows the ugly, right? Y'all got ugly sometimes. I get ugly sometimes. Stop pretending. Stop pretending. Stop pretending. Nobody wants a Christian who's always right. They want a Christian who's real. That's who they want. They don't want to know that you have everything great and they're struggling and they say, how are you? And I'm blessed, right? Okay, cool. I'm out, not talking to you, right? They want you to say, you know what? I am blessed, but I'm really having a hard time. And they go, oh, really? But you go to church and you love Jesus? Yeah, I do. I do. This world stinks. I'm so thankful I know Jesus. Psalm 139, 1 through 4 says this, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is upon my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Plain and simple, church, will you look at me? Look at me. Even the person opened that candy over and over again, I keep hearing that. My goodness. Just open it. Just get it over with. It's like rip off a Band-Aid. Just open it and put it in your mouth. We're good. Here's the truth. Plain and simple. God knows. God knows. Stop. Refocus. Bring it back to him. Stop leaning on your own understanding to navigate through the tough places in your life. Pray about it. Refocus. Ask God what's important. Why? Because your weakness is his strength. Our roots must be planted on the fact that our Father in heaven is our source. And he loves us like a father should love his children. You catch that? I don't care what your daddy was like. I don't even care if you knew your daddy. This is the daddy of heaven. He's perfect. And he will love you like you've always desired to be loved. He will love you, and he'll do all the things that your dad maybe never did, or all the things that you wish he did. He will love you. And I don't know about you, but I need to bring it back to my understanding that I'm God's little boy. I'm a child of the living King. And I need to just spend time with him to remember what's really important in life, to remember where my roots should be planted, to remember to bring it all back to him. I wrote something here I want to read to you. I know it's weird, a pastor's about to say this, but if you have your Bibles, just go ahead and put it away real quick, because I want to just speak directly to you in your heart from God. Just remind you what the Word of God says. I'm a mess up here. Hallelujah. Real. Real. Give me strength. Our Father will change your life. Listen, I remember what it's like to go out in the world and do everything the world ever said was good. I remember that. It was fun. It was real fun. Till it wasn't any more fun. And it broke me. And it made me regret every night that I slept, and I felt this guilt. It felt nasty and gross, and why would anybody ever want me? But let me tell you, until I met Jesus, I was never free. I was never free. And then I met him. And I have never laid another head down on my pillow feeling like I did back then. Never. Never. And I've messed up since then many times. But now I know who to go to. I know who listens to me, and I know who loves me. And nobody loved me like that out there. They loved me until they used me up, and they throw me away. Right? That's all the world ever knows. That's all the devil wants. And he wants to bring you in. Yeah, I got a lot of stuff for you. And then when I'm done with you, you're out. And maybe someday I'll see you in hell. Right? And Jesus steps in and says, shut your mouth. It's my boy. Or that's my girl. And I'm going to fight for them. And I'm going to love them. I'm going to show them a different way. I want to remind you of something this morning. Our Father, he's going to change your life if you let him in. He loves you. He's the Father you've always been looking for. In him, we have our being. We are his offspring. We were made in his image. He knows everything about us, even if we don't know much about him yet. He knows when we get up and when we sit down. He's familiar with all of your ways. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knew us before we were even conceived. And God's word says he knit us together in our mother's womb. He chose us before creation. We are not a mistake. He determined the exact time of our birth and where we would live. We were fearfully and wonderfully made by him. Our Father is the complete expression of love. It is his desire to cover you completely with his love because you are a child and he is our Father. He is your provider and he meets all of our needs. The plan he has for us is full of hope because he loves us with an everlasting love. Our Father rejoices over us with singing because his banner over us is love. We are his treasured possession. Some verses or Bibles say, you are a masterpiece. He wants to show us great and marvelous things. If we seek him with all of our heart, we will find him. Delight in him. And he will give us the desires of our hearts. He is also the Father that comforts us in times of need. He mends our broken hearts. One day he will wipe away every tear you ever had, and he will take away every pain that you ever suffered on earth. He's our defender. Fights for us. He can do more for us than we could even dream or imagine. He is our greatest strength. He is our Father and he loves us just like he loves his son Jesus. For through his son Jesus, his perfect love was revealed. Jesus was the exact representation of the Father. Jesus came to demonstrate our Father is for us. He's not against us. And he no longer counts our sins against us. Jesus died so you could talk to your Abba again. His death was the ultimate expression of his love for us. He gave up everything that he loves so he might gain our love in return. Our dad is the Almighty God. And nothing will ever separate us from the love of our Father. But the question this morning is, church, will you bring it back? Will you let him in? Stop. Refocus. And ask him to replant you. Time to lose religion. Be a child of God. Go back to your first love.
I remember when I was young, and your voice shouting loud my name. And since that moment, I haven't heard it quite that way. Well, now that I'm older, could you say it again? I remember I was afraid, and oh, the hand I felt lead the way. And for the first time in my life, I felt safe. Well, God, now that I'm older, would you lead me again? Oh, when the storm's out on the ocean. and there's no space between the heaven and my heart. You are near to me. I've never been too far. Hey. And in the in-between, you brought heaven to my heart. Cause when the storm on the ocean and the violent wind gets to blowing, oh, take me back, take me back. Hey, oh, take me back, take me back. Hey, oh, take me. I wanna go, I wanna go. Oh, take me back to my first love, when it was all simple and loving was easy. When it was all simple and trusting was easy. When it was all simple and loving was easy. When it was all simple, hey, and trusting was easy. When it was all simple and loving was easy. When it was all simple, trusting was easy. Hey, when it was all simple and loving was easy. When it was all simple, hey, and trusting was easy. When it was all simple and loving was easy. When it was all simple and trusting was easy. Yeah.